Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Good evening. Thank you for joining me tonight on this night when the Midwest is emerging slowly from a deep freeze. We have more weather coming, I understand, over 3 days in the next week, but not the kind of horrifically cold temperatures we've started to get used to here these past couple of weeks. So we'll call that a blessing and wade through the snow as best we can. I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is my show, and it's a show where I kind of talk about stuff. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I pray that my words reach somebody out there who needs to hear them. And there are times when I think I can't imagine who out there would need to hear any of these words, but I proceed on faith that I'm not in this place and I'm not being given these words just to be here in this place and saying these words, that there is some higher purpose being served. And so here I am. Let me tell you, I just told you a little bit about what's going on here. I want to make sure I mention my blog, which is on mudtoesasquatch.com, because I believe I forgot to mention it last week. This is my website. You can find my blog on there. There's also a very neglected radio show archive where you can hear shows, Mud Toe and Midnight shows from the distant past, and a couple of other links I wanted to share. But each week I do like to talk about my blog entry, which I make every Monday. And as I said last week, I believe I forgot to speak about that, so I won't go back just in case I'm remembering incorrectly. I don't want to cover the same ground twice. If you want to see that entry, you can go to the website and find it. Previous week's entry on January 20th was the ultimate test of cerebral fitness, and some people might recognize that as a line from the Broadway show Chess. And as you might expect, the blog entry was about chess. And I won't go into it any more than that. If you'd like to read it, you can find it there on the website. This week's entry on January 27th is called Idol, and it refers to a movie that I saw on Saturday. Now, I'm a member of the a nearby Center for the Arts that's associated with our university where I used to work. And it's in walking distance. Actually, it's right next door to the building where I used to work. And I used to, if it was a frustrating day, or even if it was a frustrating day, if I just felt the needs for some art, I would walk next door after my shift or during lunch, and I would take a stroll through the gallery. If you had a student ID, it was free to see the gallery show. So I saw it quite often and saw it many times as it changed. There was one that struck me particularly, and I have an idea to write a meditation or a story. I don't think it's really going to be a story because it doesn't seem to have any plot to it at all. But basically, a meditation of these emotions that I went through as I was seeing this display of a woman's art, a woman from Poland whose name I cannot even come close to pronouncing. And what impressed me was that she lived about the same amount of time as I had lived at the time I saw it. I was about the same age at that point as she was when she died. And here was this tremendous body of work, just a fraction of what she had produced. And I'm looking at what I have produced in the same amount of time, and it's not so much. So and that struck me, and I thought about this because there was a number of films and videos of her speaking. Alina was her first name. I can't even get close to the last name. But she was from Poland. She was famous there. She was a little bit famous in France. Mostly they didn't like her work because it didn't fit into the aesthetic. But she's still a living legend in Poland and is practically unknown outside of there. But I found her works very striking, and I thought that she was someone I would have I could have fallen very deeply in love with were we not separated by about 40 years in time. Now, all of this has absolutely nothing to do with this week's blog entry, except to say that I am prone to forming connections with people who aren't present. You know, Alina has passed away. She's been gone since the early 1970s. And yet I, through being close to her work and through seeing her image, I felt very deeply connected with her and felt a lot of, you know, sadness over the sort of, I guess it's not loss of her work because her work is still there, but the fact that that she never became known in the way that she probably deserved. So last Saturday I went to the movie at the same art center. They do a lot of films. You get $2 off with the student ID. You don't get to go to the films for free. And I went to those fairly frequently too, except that now I don't have a student ID anymore. But I kicked over the traces and I asked my lovely mother if, as part of my Christmas package, I guess Christmas packages, a package of Christmas packages, the Christmas sort of things for Christmas. What word am I looking for? Clever word that will go here. Well, I'm not finding it. So anyway, as something for Christmas, as a Christmas gift for me, I asked her if she would buy me a membership to the Art Center. It's the Wexner Center for the Arts. I don't know why. I have this thing where I'm trying to somehow generalize where it is I live. I live in Columbus, Ohio. My university is the Ohio State University, and the place is the Wexner Center for the Arts, and it's named for our local billionaire, robber baron, Les Wexner, who's much like the Kardashians, is putting his name on everything at Ohio State. Now that I said thinking of that, I mean, I'm sure they're glad to have his money, and I'm sure it makes things easier for them, meaning the people at the museum. But I think that Mr. Wexner's money could be better spent going after some of the larger problems our city has. We'd probably be able to find other people who could step in and help out with the museum, and maybe we could give it an artist's name rather than the name of a wealthy person. But anyway, I went to the Wexner Center to see this movie just because I was feeling the need. Didn't know anything about the movie. It was called, what was it called? It was called Pervert's Guide to Ideology. And I read the description of it, and it's basically this dude who's, again, the name's not in front of me, so I'll never, he's Eastern European as well. I'll never be able to come up. Zizek, I think, is his last name. We'll call him Mr. Zizek. And I have no idea if he has any sort of credentials. You know, is he a professor? Is he a researcher? Who is he? It doesn't really say. But he talks about, for almost 2.5 hours, he talks about his theories regarding ideology, and he draws examples from mostly from movies. And this is something that I do a lot. You know, I like movies, and I see, you know, I make connections between things that I see in the world and things that I've seen in a film, and then I tell people about it, and they look at me with this, like, this blank stare. What do you mean? But anyway, I was kind of fascinated that, you know, someone else in the world had this sort of fetish, maybe you could call it. So I went to see the movie, and I was just blown away. And this guy, he has a funny accent. I can't claim to have a funny accent, but otherwise, he's got a beard. He's heavy set. He has sort of weird tics, you know, he wipes his nose all the time, he scratches his ears all the time. And he's talking about some of these strange connections between movies and moving from connection to connection to connection without really making a proper, you know, there wasn't any plan to it. He doesn't have any main, you know, central focus to his whole dissertation, which is one of the faults that my academic advisor found with my PhD exams, that there just was no central focus. It was just a bunch of stuff. So I relate to this guy, but then at the same time got that same feeling I got with Alina Shabrapovich, was that here he is, you know, up on a movie screen, and here I am on an internet radio show once a week for half an hour, and then the rest of the time, nobody even knows who I am at all. So the same sort of depression started to set in a bit, and I found I had to rouse myself up this week and try and get some positive things done to keep get life moving in the right direction. Now, the weather was not cooperative. There was kind of crappy weather all week, and that always kind of seems to set me back. One thing that was a positive was I was through this string of, what was it? I believe it was 12 consecutive days. I didn't have a day off for 12 days between my two different part-time jobs. I was working at either one or the other every day for 12 straight days. And that was tiring. Not that the work I was doing was particularly tiring. It's just one looks forward to having a day off, you know. And I remember even at the time, you know, when I was working 40 hours a week, you know, the traditional five-day schedule with the weekend off, yeah, I really enjoyed what I was doing, at least in the beginning, but you sure did look forward to having that weekend off. And when you go almost twice that long without any time off, I found that it wore on my nerves. It affected my mood. That's something I'm going to have to correct. The way I'm living right now is not going to, well, it's not sustainable, first of all. I'm still depending on the folks to send me a little bit of money every month so that I can make all the ends meet, and eventually that largesse is I'm sure going to run a little thin. They're at very least going to want me. I know they have mentioned this. They prefer that I would move back in with them, and then you know the amount the need for money isn't you know, because I don't have this you know have the rent to pay on the apartment and the utilities and so forth. I'm not quite ready to let go of my independence yet, my independence such as it is. It would be the fifth time in my adult life that I have moved home with my parents. So again, I'm not looking forward to that either. But I have now accepted it as a possibility, and I have formed a timeline. And I know my new age friends would say, don't even do that. But there's a time by which, this is a practical measure, but if something hasn't broken loose here in Columbus, that I must give up the bills that I have, go someplace where my bills are much less, and continue my search and continue my writing from there. And that's going to be July. That's what I figured right now. Now, I have a possibility of another job that is unfortunately a part-time job, but it would be a much better one, and I would actually have to give up the other two that I have right now, but it would be, it's a full-time job for 3 months, and it's grading standardized tests from your high school, you know, graduation tests. They have the questions. They have questions now that can't be graded by the computer that they ask the student to write something up, write a paragraph or whatever. And they hire people to do those, but it's not an all year round job. It's only about 3 months out of the year. But if I can qualify for that, that would give me an opportunity to be able to run the household I have now without having to accept more largesse from my parents. And then once that job was done, it had reached a point where have I got any prospects for something full-time that would justify my staying in Columbus, or is it now the time to go ahead and move? Because I think it'd be good, July's nice weather, decent time to move. Also gives me a time to get signed up for one of my favorite part-time job from the past, which was substitute teaching. I did that quite a bit, and that led into a permanent job teaching that I had. So that's what, my new age people will be upset with me because they say, if I establish this, then I'm asking the universe to make it happen. So I just have to be very careful how I think about it when the universe is listening in. There is a practical limit to what I can do here. And I would be, the idea is I would be doing the same thing I'm doing here, just from there. That's how I'm sort of rationalizing it. And perhaps as the time gets closer, I'll get more panicky. But I did have a meeting with a vocational counselor this week, and we're getting my resume signed up and ready to go. I have had the novel, it's not a novel, I have had the short story collection out this week. I've made a whole lot of progress on it, but have resolved some ideas, some things that I was sort of on the fence about, that I have made decisions about. And tomorrow's February 1st. That's going to be the beginning of a regular writing campaign. I don't know how many times I've promised myself that. But, by golly, this time it's going to happen, because these stories, I was about to say these stories have to come out. That's a bit grandiose, more so than I meant. They have to, well, they do have to get out for my sake. I have to get them out of my head, and I have to at least see if they can, be a means by which I could support myself. It's these stories have been living in my head for so long, I think it's time for them to start paying their own way. So that's where I'm at. I kind of strayed from the blog a little bit, but that's really kind of where the blog... No, I didn't, because the blog sort of set me in that direction that I needed to think about not just waiting for events to dictate which way I was going to jump. I have to have some idea of what I'm going to do next, and I have to be taking positive steps to make those things happen, or otherwise nothing's going to happen. If I just sit and wait, nothing's going to happen. So taking positive steps, and I will keep you all apprised of how that's going. So, how are you guys? Something is really bizarre with Blog Talk Radio, the network, tonight. It's giving me all kinds. Well, first of all, it had scheduled an End of Loves show at 11 o'clock right before mine, which is not correct. And now it seems as if it has Iggy's show scheduled. It doesn't say when, but it says it's late. It says you're late to start your next episode. It doesn't seem to be affecting what I'm doing right now. The clock is still counting down, and Skype is still counting down. That's what happened to me last week, if you weren't here. People who were here could tell you that Skype quit on me with about a minute and a half left in the episode, and I couldn't get back on the air in time to finish it. But we were having a very edifying discussion about stink bugs. So I think that we pretty well managed to put that subject to rest anyway. So I don't know that there's a reason to return to that. But what else could we? I can tell you some of the. I saw a vocational counselor this week. It's the same person I saw when I took all those tests, and she gave me some what I think is good information. And then I took that to heart in writing. See, this is the thing, the effort. This is going to sound bad. The effort that it takes to get a real job, I just find it to be very daunting. And I put that effort in last year and got a 40-hour-a-week job that only lasted 3 weeks. I ended up losing the job because I couldn't qualify for their driving test. The job had to do with driving kids to and from school. And there's a special state test that you have to pass. I didn't, and I was not aware at the time that I couldn't take it twice. Mainly, I was very thrown because they made us take the test in our own cars, and my car was a POS at the time. I was very concerned that something the directional signals didn't work. Sometimes the shifter didn't work right. I was very concerned that something bad was going to happen inside that car while the examiner was in there, and I was so distracted by that I made about a dozen other mistakes, which screwed me up for the test. But after that, I was so shaken by that experience of having put so much work into getting that job and having so much positive regard from the people there. They really liked me, is what they said anyway. And then to just have it all gone for a reason that I hadn't even anticipated. You know, no one had told me, and I hadn't thought that that was something that was you know, going to cause me to crash and burn. So that stuck with me, and I really have had a hard time getting a resume together. And I went out and I got that part-time job with working with the developmentally disabled. And that's just not, I mean, I don't mind the job, but it doesn't pay my bills, you know, and I have to distance myself from that. Like I said, the longer I stay in it, the more comfortable I feel I'm going to get, until we reach a point where there's just, you know, it's just a point of no return, and then everybody throws their hands up and says, "What are you talking about? You know, we didn't know you were struggling so badly. You know, we don't know when you're paying somebody less than subsistence wages, how you could be surprised when they have trouble paying their bills." But I think it's better that I leave. I make a proactive step and then leave for something else. I have something else to do. Someone else is maybe, you know, something else that may be a better offer. This is something that's more suited to me, which the grading of those tests would be, which the standardized patient stuff would be, which I had some of this weekend was very fun. We had a couple of very nice cases the past few weeks, which I can't tell you about because it's top secret. But if only that were a 40-hour-a-week job, I would do that stuff right there. But not enough work. So I have to let that go too. And I have to be willing to put in what is necessary to attract the attention of someone that's going to pay me enough to live. And if I can't get that done, then I have to go someplace where I can live without, you know, so much money. Well, you know, I'll substitute teach and give my folks, you know, part of what I make and use the rest for, I don't know, shoes. I don't have any material needs. I have very few. I had a gift card from Amazon, and I ordered, first time I've ever ordered with a gift card from Amazon. It was tough because the printing on the back is so small. But I ordered a copy of a graphic novel that I studied when I was in school, and I really enjoyed. Excuse me one second. Called Laika. It's about the Soviet space dog. If you don't know the story, it's the first living thing to orbit the Earth was this puppy dog that the Russians put in space, and everybody got all Americans got all excited about that. So it's a graphic novel of that story, which I found very very affecting. I also bought a copy of The Kid Stays in the Picture, and it's autobiography of a movie producer named Robert Evans, who is the stereotypical reprobate, you know, of a movie producer in the 60s and 70s. And I heard it mentioned in a Patton Oswalt album. And I wanted to get a copy ever since. So I got a copy off of Amazon. And then I ordered a movie called Blood Sisters of Lesbian Sin, which kind of doesn't fit with those other two items. Actually, it's a direct-to-video movie from the 90s that has nothing to do with the title. It's just it was originally titled Sisters of Sin because it's about three sisters who run I don't know if it's a hotel or I think it's like a resort, and they trick and rob and kill their guests, and one wonders how they manage to keep getting guests. But that's that aside. They put under the title Sisters of Sin. It didn't do very well, so it was the new distributors took it over and they gave it the title Blood Sisters of Lesbian Sin, and it did considerably better. So anyway, I ordered that. I have it, and I ordered it first of all because I was interested in seeing the whole film. You can see bits and pieces of it on YouTube, but also because this is the first time I've seen this. You get it from Amazon on CDR. They don't. It's not the. You're not buying a DVD of the original movie. Somebody has a copy of the movie, probably on VHS, and they're making it. You know, they're creating a digital file. and it must be a compressed digital file. I'm putting it on CD. So you have to watch. It's not even a DVD. It's a CD, so you have to watch the movie on your computer. You can't watch it on a traditional DVD setup. Interesting. I had never seen that before. I didn't know people did that. So I just wanted to see how that works. So I went ahead and with my free Christmas money, ordered me a copy of that, and we'll see what it looks like when it gets here. So that was another of my new accomplishments for the week. I ordered something off of Amazon. I've ordered from Amazon before. I never ordered with a gift card before. So we chalk these things up, you know, things that I have accomplished, new things that have happened. I found the office of the vocational counselor's office was a new place. They had gone. I went to my last appointment just before Christmas, and they were getting ready to shut their office down and move it. And I was like the last appointment they were ever going to have at that office. And I was sitting in there as we were talking. There was furniture going out past the door and out the front. So I got to visit their new place, and I found their new place. No screaming, no yelling, no cursing, no pounding my steering wheel and then being afraid I was going to activate the airbag. I went right to it, which, of course, meant I was about 45 minutes early. But they have a nice new office in the back of a bank. And I won't set an intention. How would I do this? Hey, I believe that they're going to be able to help me. So that's, I guess we're trying to, I almost have the word. This is terrible. I'm just slowly, my brain is all I have. I must not lose my brain. I must not get to this point where I can't think of the word for anything. Manifest, that's the word. So I have to manifest their being able to help me through my belief that they will help me. I'll find something. They did identify, the woman I was talking to, did identify some resources that I hadn't looked at yet. So there's that. Last thing that happened this week, we still have a couple minutes left, my lovely daughter took me out to dinner tonight and then to the OSU hockey game. I like the OSU hockey game because it's considerably cheaper than the NHL team that's in town here, the Blue Jackets. We got seats in the third row, right down, you know, near the glass, and they were $13. I'm guessing $150 for similar tickets to a Blue Jackets game. I made an observation, and I hope that this is my daughter thought the same thing, and perhaps this means there's. I know we're kindred spirits in many ways. I don't know. I haven't talked to her enough to know how many, how deep into the political, spiritual realm that actually goes. But you know, we have the university has a big arena for their basketball team, and of course, there's a big downtown arena the city has for the hockey team. And I always thought, you know, a city our size does not need two arenas. I don't know if any city needs, maybe New York City and Los Angeles, those two big mega, and Chicago, the mega cities, perhaps they need two arenas. I don't think ours does, and I said that to my daughter as we were going in, and she agreed with me. I said, oh, he's agreeing with me. So anyway, perhaps the questioning attitude goes on to the next generation. I'm about done. This half hour flew by, as they usually do. I hope you'll tune in next week. I hope you'll write me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com and let me know what you thought of the show, because I would love to talk about things that people have suggested for me to talk about on the show. So once again, thank you for listening, and I bid you a pleasant good evening.